Hi, I'm Sean Gunn, and you're listening to Comic Book Nation.
What's going on, folks? Welcome to Comic Book Nation episode 22. I am your host, producer Jim Biscardi, replacing Kofi Kingston, who is not here today.
He's celebrating his world championship run.
Yep, absolutely. We've got a ton to cover, but first, let me introduce our my co-hosts, Matt Mueller and Connor Casey.
What up, peoples?
What's going on, guys?
Guys, this has been a huge week.
I'm so tired. I'm not wearing a blazer because I am so tired.
From this that's right. You're not. Yeah.
No.
It took me a minute. Yeah.
All right. Let's get some business out of the way first. Mm-hmm. Comic Book Nation, your 2 times a week podcast you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast aggregation from, and not Amazon Music.
Wow. Keep the tradition alive.
Got to keep that tradition alive.
One day it'll happen.
With that, we had a lot to cover, and we're just going to sort of jump right into it. First things first, this is big news.
Oh, God.
Big news. Probably the biggest news.
It's not the biggest
Hawkeye news. Is getting a Disney Plus TV series. A Disney Plus TV series. So, for those who don't know, and this is completely news, it was reported, we will probably find out more a little bit after we record this, but a Hawkeye TV series coming to Disney Plus that is supposed to really just feature, it feels like a passing of the torch kind of show, that's supposed to feature Kate Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Renner, of course, will be attached to star, but we don't really know anything more than that. Here's what gets me excited about this. This goes to show, this is the first time that Marvel Studios is approaching the idea and the concept of legacy. We haven't really gotten it anywhere else. DC does it, does it extremely well. But outside of that, this would be the start of that. Like, there's a ton of rumors out there that, in that Avengers trailer, the person that Hawkeye is kind of training with may be his daughter.
Yeah.
Could also be, it may be a Kate Bishop-like character, whether it'll be her name or not. We'll see. So that started the speculation fans, rolling. But the other cool part of this is, there's also a ton of room in the Hawkeye sort of space. Is this going to be Matt Fraction Hawkeye run with Hawk Bro? Or is this going to be, when Kate Bishop got her series, Or is it really going to be a mix? I think it's probably going to be a mix because Kate Bishop did have a pretty big role in the later part of the Fraction run, not necessarily throughout the whole thing, but Kate Bishop moving out to the West and doing all that is really really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's the only part of this that interests me.
Brutal,
so,
man.
Here's the thing. Everyone knows that I'm not like the biggest Hawkeye. I don't dislike him.
Right.
It's just, but Kate Bishop, we've seen Hawkeye's story. To me, there's not like as much of Hawkeeye's story that's left.
There's
to
a
be
ton
explored
of Hawkeye story
I,
to be left.
That I care about. I say that as in like I'm sure Hawkeye fans like yourself, like Charlie, mm-hmm. who just lost their minds when this was announced, have tons of stuff they'd like to see. I personally am more interested in seeing him pass the torch. Kate Bishop is a really cool character, mm-hmm. And they've toyed with this with the idea of legacy in a way, because like we're kind of anticipating what we see with like Captain Marvel and Monica Rambeau, kind of what she'll become,
right.
But yeah, this would be a real next step, mm-hmm. And I'd be very down for that. So that is the part that I'm intrigued in.
Connor, thoughts?
I'm up for it. We've had such a minimal role for Hawkeye in every other movie. I really enjoy Jeremy Renner as an actor, mm-hmm. Even though that haircut in the new one's a little ridiculous.
I know. I mean, it's a ridiculous haircut, but it kind of suits him. I think it works.
Kind of.
The sleeve.
It just screams midlife crisis. It's like, kids, I got the fresh new haircut, and I got the sleeve going.
It does kind of seem like he has a justifiable reason to have a midlife crisis.
Right.
If your family vanishes, I would give you some props.
That's part of what makes the idea of a series like this kind of fascinating, right? Because we don't know much about Hawkeye before when we first see him, mm-hmm. right? And we know a bit about him, you know, in the time that he is sort of on screen in the Avengers movies and whatnot. But we don't know what life is like after that, right? Like, he yeah. gets that fat, presumably he gets a, you know, fat check from the government for to go live out and move out on a farm with his family and, yeah. you know, give up the superhero life. And like, if that's kind of where this Kate Bishop series picks up, like, I can imagine it picking up there with flashbacks to Hawkeye's, like, you know, previous Avengers life. I would love to see a purple costume kind of thing. Will we see it? Probably never.
They've dabbled.
I mean, he's gotten shades. Purple.
Yeah.
But, like, he hasn't gotten the mask. No. It's just like, no. you know.
The mask.
Right, exactly. So, again, I think that's really, really cool. Again, it just goes to show what Disney Plus can do, and, you know, in expanding this Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm-hmm. And if this is the start for, you know, legacy and planting the seeds for future heroes, young Avengers, and whatnot down the line, I'm totally game. Disney also dropped a pretty big, awesome trailer on us this week with The Lion King. And I know this is one of those.
I was waiting.
This movie, surprisingly, is getting mixed reactions in the way that, you know, I think Aladdin is sort of coming up with it. Like, people just don't know why Disney is doing this. There's a lot of their Disney's just doing this because they can. But at the same time, I look at it as, I've got a daughter. She's 3, right? Mm-hmm. She loves the animated Lion King, you know, whatnot. She loved the animated Jungle Book. She loves the new Jungle Book.
Yeah.
I showed her the trailer for this. I showed her the one that we did that had the, yeah. you know, the side-by-side with the original and the new trailer. She loved it. She can't wait.
Yeah.
Like, and I think I don't mind them doing this.
I don't get the... Okay, because, like, I've had a couple discussions with people. I don't understand the why argument. Because of course we know why. These are classic movies.
Money.
Yeah. And so for you want to adapt them for an audience that is not necessarily going to go back and watch an animated movie. They want something new and to dazzle them, but they still love those characters in the story. So you update it and you give a whole new generation a fresh coat of paint on a classic thing. And we have the technology now to make it look believable. Right. Like, it makes total sense.
I love the animation.
The animation looks great.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels old. I'm not going to go back. When I go watch The Rescuers, I'm like, man, okay, it looks old, but man, I would love to see that redone.
Watching The Rescuers.
I mean, I'm saying, like, that's a great mouse. There's so many I would love to see.
Right.
To say all that, though, I was a little bummed by this trailer. This trailer mm-hmm. is kind of
You were bummed by this one?
Because it's so devoid of personality until the last 30 seconds. When Timon and Pumbaa show up and you get the little tease of Hakuna Matata, it's the same problem with the Aladdin first trailer.
It did lean a bit heavily on the Scar and the hyenas bit and all the tragedy and all that. Which I get. I mean, like, this is a, you know, Lion King's supposed to be a take on Hamlet and all that jazz.
Yeah.
And I get that, right? But you're right. I do feel that there is a bit of, they leaned a bit too much onto the darkness.
It's like I'm watching a National Geographic commercial for most of the trailer. And then we get to the end. I'm like, oh, right there. And we had the same problem with Aladdin. And then Aladdin fixed it with the second trailer, gave us some songs, gave us some music, fun.
Gave us an indication that it might be a little bit different. And
even
that's
that too, yeah.
That's, I'm kind of on the negative side with this because we posted on social media the side-by-side comparison mm-hmm. of the original trailer yep. with this one. They almost look identical, and it makes me feel like, you ever see Gus Van Sant's remake of Psycho that's a shot-for-shot remake, and no one liked it? It's terrible. Don't watch it. If you've seen the original Psycho, congratulations. You've seen both. No one liked the new one, because even though it had the same shots, the same vibe going on, it was missing that magic that made the original one work. And I'm worried that this is going to have the same problem.
Did you see
problem.
The Jungle Book?
I did.
Did you like the Jungle Book?
It changed up enough to where I was like, you know what, this kind of works.
But I think we are going to get that with The Lion King as well. I think there's a lot. Someone who is seeing The Lion King trailer maybe for the first time, just in its new live action glory, may not realize that there's a bunch of shots from that are from the original Lion King. We do because we're nerds and we love that stuff.
Right? We were around in the 90s.
We were around, right. And so. But for, you know, someone like, you know, like my sister, who's just a couple years younger than me, like, she sees this, she's totally amped for it because she loved the adventure. She has no idea that, you know, she recognizes some of the shots, like, the, you know, Simba and Timon and Pumbaa walking across the log. I mean, those are iconic shots. But, like, you know, the Scar, you know, shots and stuff like that, like, unless you're looking for it, you don't really know.
No. I agree. We tend to analyze, right,
things. It's kind of our job.
Yeah, it's kind of the deal, so I understand it. I just hope, I'm looking forward to another trailer where we get a little more personality. I'll be amped there. This is not Dumbo.
So when you mentioned the Aladdin thing, it made me think, you know, at the end of the Aladdin thing, we got a tease of the genie. And then, boom, next trailer, we got a ton of genie and a ton of action. Yeah. And so I imagine for this one, if they're playing out of that sort of that same playbook, we'll get a lot more Timon and Pumbaa, and we'll get, you know, probably more of that.
I mean, that 20 seconds is the best part of the trailer for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want just a little bit more, and I'm fine. With the reactions they got to the Aladdin trailer, I don't exactly know why they went back to this same bag.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you alter it? You saw the backlash.
Speaking of those last 20 seconds, is it bad that I miss Nathan Lane as Timon?
No, I love
it. But you know what? Like, even at the end, like, am I sad that, you know, there's no Nathan Lane? Yes, obviously. But it sounded great. I mean, they sounded great.
Yeah, they sounded good. So I wanted to hear more Zazu because I really liked John Oliver.
Yes, yeah, please.
I really wanted to hear that. So, yeah.
Nice. All right. The next sort of big news before we jump into our deep dive, there is a new person playing Batman. It's not in the Batman movie.
Was that the Blues Clues jingle?
Yes,
it is in Titans season 2. Matt, what do you think?
Titans! For one, I take a weird thing with this angle because I don't watch Game of Thrones.
All right. Well, why don't you mention who it is?
Okay. So I actually don't know the name off the top of my head because I don't actually know who this person was outside of this.
Ian Glenn?
Yes, Ian Glenn.
So
thanks, Matt. I tried to set you up.
I'm sorry. I don't know Game of Thrones. What I will say, though, he looks the part. I'm down with that. I'm just more thrilled. Like, have you watched Titans?
I have not watched Titans, but I have watched Thrones. He's a fantastic actor.
Okay, so that's a good mix. I know we are split a bit on Titans. I love it.
I don't hate Titans. Okay. It got a little bit better towards the end, but it's still pretty terrible.
Is it fair to say Doom Patrol was better?
Doom Patrol is.
That's all I've been watching.
But here's the interesting aspect about this. This is a older Bruce Wayne. This is not Batman Beyond old Bruce Wayne.
This is like Batfleck.
I would say even a little bit old, maybe really? A little bit older. Okay. At least that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I would love to have seen the DC Universe streaming service take on a live action Batman Beyond thing. Because let's be honest, we're never going to get a movie for Batman Beyond ever. That's just not going to happen.
I think you're wrong. I think it happens at some point.
No,
Batman's such a big property. How can they turn down any idea?
But a Batman Beyond DC Universe show, I can kind of get behind. Mm. But the interesting thing is more how you know, this older Batman is going to play off Kern Walters is Jason Todd. Mm-hmm. And I really liked Jason Todd in Titans. That was one of the more, I liked his kind of like twerpy, you know, being Robin's the best, but also, you know, at the same time, like.
He was a guy, I'm not the biggest Jason Todd person, but yes, he was a good Jason Todd.
I don't think anyone is a big Jason Todd
person. There's got to be somebody, and they keep bringing him back.
I like Jason Todd. I mean, I like him better as Red Hood.
Yeah, he's way better than Red.
You know, as a Robin. But I'm saying, but like, what I like about this is, you know, with this being an older Batman, we could see the transition potentially from Jason Todd, you know, as Robin to Red Hood. And then that, you know, if we get to explore at all any of that dynamic with Batman, here's the thing. He got cast as Batman. We're probably going to see him for a total of 40 seconds, and then that is it.
I think we're going to see him more than that.
You think so?
I don't think he's going to be a series regular by any means. He's not going to be a focal point. Because, I mean, we saw more than that of Batman in the first season. They didn't even have anybody cast as him. Right. I mean, we saw the Batmobile, the Batcave, how many times? I think the promise of the finale sets up some interesting things. I'm glad they actually made it a person. Like, here, this part is substantial enough. We need a character to bounce off of. I'm interested to see how he plays off of Dick Grayson, especially coming off of that. I mean, spoilers here for the finale of Titans, but like that weird hallucinogenic nightmare thing. I'm really interested to see where this goes.
Are we on the potential of Batman casting burnout? I feel like there's been a lot of like we now have a lot of people who have played Batman.
Is that like superhero?
But here's the thing. Like, to me, the casting of Batman on a show like, you know, like this, whatever, should feel more exciting. This doesn't feel exciting. this feels...
I think like it doesn't feel exciting because this one is deliberately putting him as a side character. He's not going to be the focal point of the show.
But right, but like the next time we're going to see Batman, theoretically, is going to be in the season finale of Gotham. And even then, like, that's a show that's had five seasons of buildup.
That feels like a pretty big deal.
Does it, though?
It does. That one feels bigger. That one feels, but we're going to see him in the suit. We're going to, like, that one has some hype going into this, I feel like, online and just.
I mean, it's got hype because it's got 5 years worth of buildup to it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like.
And all this goes out the window as soon as Batman is cast in another movie.
But that's what I mean.
As soon as Matt Reeves goes, hey, this dude, LaParca, is Batman.
Right. But I feel like the Batman movie now needs a Ben Affleck type casting for it to feel big again. If they hire another kind of nobody for this Batman movie, are people going to care? Obviously people will care because it's Batman in a movie. But what I mean is like, is it really going to be like, oh, like, holy S, that's awesome.
I think when the movie hits, yes. I think, you know, now I would love to see John Hamm get the role.
That would work.
But I think someone gets cast in that with a name. I agree with you if it's a no one, they've done stuff. But if it's a lesser known person, maybe it doesn't have the impact. But if it's a known person but of any stretch, Armie Hammer, all the 10 million people that have been rumored for this role, I think you're good.
But like, I also look at it too, like the breaks that we got between Batman castings before, like when Christian Bale was cast as Batman, there was a long period of time before we had the last Batman. Mm-hmm. Was Clooney the last one, or was it Kilmer?
Clooney in 98, and then 05 was Batman Begins.
Right, okay. Yeah. So between Clooney and Bale, no one else was Batman.
Except the best Batman, Kevin Conroy.
Well, right, but that doesn't...
Fight me.
That doesn't
count. Kevin Conroy counts.
That doesn't count. Live action Batman. Okay, so that's a big gap, right?
Yes.
And then the gap between Bale and Ben Affleck, also another big gap. No one really played Batman in a live-action role in between. But now, during Ben Affleck, and until whoever is next, we will have gotten sort of fake Batman in Gotham. Because let's be real. I mean,
but it's TV.
I know it's TV. But also this other Batman, you know, on Titans, which is supposed to feel like a movie or whatnot, and then we're going to get Batman. So I just feel like not enough time has passed for us to get excited about Batman. But I'm...
It's an interesting...
This is a hill that I will die on.
I feel like... Because I understand your point. It does feel a little watered down because we've had a couple of different interpretations of Batman.
And we're still not far enough away from Ben Affleck, I feel.
However, once they cast a Batman for the movies, that thing of all the possibilities will hit just like it did before.
All right.
All
right, well, we'll move on. When we come back, we are going to hit our WrestleMania recap, and we're going to go into all of our gripes. Rants and raves.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
All right.
We're great.
7 hours of wrestling.
Seven and a half
just with WWE stuff. That's a lot of wrestling.
Yep.
My wife's tired of me watching. She didn't even watch it. And she's just like, another. When I was watching SmackDown, she was like, another one? And I was like, yes.
So let's just go through your general kind of grade of the event. We'll go letter grade. Connor, we'll start with you.
Of just the event itself?
Just WrestleMania.
I would give it, honestly, if not for the length, it would have been an A. But because of the length, I got to knock it down to a B plus.
Okay, well, you got to pick one grade. So you're going to go with B plus?
No, B plus,
okay.
Yeah.
Matt?
We get pluses and minuses?
Yeah, well, it's like we're at school.
I'll say A minus because I'll say, like, I think a little higher, but not, again.
A minus feels high.
A minus is high, but
because I was going to really go with Connor and really, I was actually probably going to give it a B. I loved the start of it.
Mm-hmm.
I hated that by the time we got to the last match, there was almost no energy left.
Oh, yeah, because
there was just, no energy in the crowd. I didn't have that much energy because, like, I mean, it was 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
I remember when the dance break happened, it was like they're just trying to get people up out of their chairs.
But that was the thing, like, the dance break felt so unnecessary. Like, what was that for?
Well, okay, that even crept in at the, was it the men's
Royale?
Yeah. Where they're just waiting. And I'm like, what are you waiting for? Just standing around. And that, okay, if there was one match to just completely get rid of, good Lord, that whole thing was a slog. The Che and Jost and oh my God. Because here's the thing. I say A minus because, yes, there is fat that can be trimmed. I would have preferred lopping off some matches. But the matches that impressed me, by the end of the night, yes, I was tired, but I was still like Jones.
The pre-show had some of the best matches. Which is
really good matches, yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah, which hardly ever happens.
Right,
but
I know.
Yes, that was good.
But a couple of them felt like just a bad episode of Raw. Baron Corbin versus Angle, Finn versus Bobby. Even though I love the Demon entrance, that was kind of it.
I liked it.
There was nothing about the match itself that made me care.
But I'm a Balor guy.
I know we have a list of stuff that we want to go through, but here's one big issue that I have with Finn Balor and the Demon.
Here we go.
Look, derailed. If Finn Balor loses the title as Finn Balor,
mm-hmm.
and he can only win stuff as the Demon,
mm-hmm.
then pick one. Be the Demon all the time, or be Finn Balor.
I agree.
Be the winner or the loser.
I agree, which is why I hope they don't just do that, but which they did the first time around. I hope they don't repeat mistakes, but I agree with you.
Like, yes. Finn Balor just needs to, like, in a storyline angle, just be like, I just need to give in, become the Demon full time, and that is who I am.
But that's what they did the first time.
And then let him go on a run. No, they never let him be.
No, they didn't, but they pulled out the Demon.
They either need to let him just go full run, do a strong run as the Demon,
mm-hmm.
have a big epic match, maybe next year at WrestleMania or whatnot, that he drops a title or loses. He goes away for a couple of months,
comes back
as Finn Balor, and then he can go back to being
fine with this.
Wishy-washy. But they're never going to do that, and we're going to be stuck with boring-ass Finn Balor for the rest of our lives.
I don't find him boring as Finn Balor. And dang it, I was so good, and you got me to cuss on here.
All right.
Because I just heard you do it.
Let's go. All right, so... let's just sort of go look at the matches. We won't go match by match, but what do you think was a match that overperformed?
So we made these picks last week, and my pick was Kofi versus Bryan. And I was right, because it was the best match of the night.
I forgot my picks. I remember my picks.
That match was so... I knew it was going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment where Kofi's getting kicked, and he stands back up and says, hit me harder.
Yeah.
I went, okay, this is a classic. This is what this show is going to be remembered for, is this match right here. Yeah. And the moment with him winning, and Big E's got the present, and it's the new T-shirts, and you've got the new title belt. It was spoiled, yes.
I love that it was spoiled, not only for the people who were actually there in the crowd, but also for people online.
But to be fair, they addressed that continuity by saying, here are the Daniel Bryan T-shirts. They did do that.
I did laugh.
I loved that. That was funny. Great. But you know, that match was awesome.
That match was great.
It was very good.
Mine. So I said my picks are going to be terrible because, like, I was wrong on almost every single one. So my pick that was going to overperform was, I believe, AJ Styles and Randy Orton, which did not overperform.
Will you finally agree with me that AJ Styles is just boring?
Never.
No, but that match was average and forgettable. It was pretty lackluster.
It got
him hurt.
You could have.
Yeah, it did get him hurt. I've been running about that all day. That sucks.
So overall, lose on that one. That was bad.
I'm going to get so much hate for this one, but I loved the Batista Triple H match.
That was my underperforming match.
What? Are you kidding me?
That was mine.
Because that match was brutal. Oh, wait.
Exactly what I told you was going to happen. It was going to go too long. It did.
I don't think it went too long.
The person you didn't want to see win ended up winning.
Oh, so that's still your underperforming match. Yeah. So that's the pick you made, and I was right. That's the pick I made, but I was wrong because I ended up liking that match by the end of it. It won me over, and I was like, okay, I thought honestly this was going to be what Kurt Angle, Baron Corbin was turned out to be. I was wrong.
Outside of the Kofi and Daniel Bryan match, told the best story. It was violent.
For as short as it was, the Seth Rollins Brock Lesnar match actually told a better story because it made sense why he wanted to go on first because he didn't want to wait.
Right.
And Seth had been saying the whole time through the buildup, "I'm going to do whatever it takes."
Right.
And if that means kicking you in the dick, that's what's got to happen.
Yeah, but that doesn't feel like a whatever it takes to me. That was going to be my pick for underperformed because. While I liked the idea of putting that match first, I thought it kicks off the show with a ton of heat. That match was a tough one to begin with because their styles are very different and in a way that I don't necessarily think mesh. And neither one of them feel like someone who can carry the other to be the lead in that ring.
Rollins?
Yeah. His style is just so, it to me feels just like a wrong fit for someone to go against Brock. I understand why you have to do it.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the match, but I think I would have enjoyed it a lot more.
If like who?
Did you see the triple threat he had with those two and Cena at Royal Rumble like 2017?
Yes.
That I feel like that was the best example of, hey, Seth's style can match with Brock. It just has to be a longer match.
Yeah.
Because Seth is about build up.
That's true. And I think that may actually
having it be a 7-minute sprint's not gonna work.
That match was much shorter than I anticipated it to be. And for it to, you know, Brock matches are either very short or they're long as hell.
And he's out unconscious for half of them.
Right. Well, I mean, that's why one of my favorite Brock matches is still Goldberg's match with him. Because it's like the perfect amount of time. Like, it's like, oh, we get in, get out, we're done.
All right. Favorite match?
Of the weekend?
Of the weekend.
Okay. Because you know where I'm going with
I know where you're going.
You know where he's going.
I was actually wrong. It was my second pick. It was Velveteen Dream versus Matt Riddle.
That was great.
The entrance for Velveteen was perfect. The story that they're telling, which is Matt Riddle is this legit UFC fighter. Velveteen is completely outclassed, so he beats him with professional wrestling as opposed to actual fighting. It's an awesome story to tell. And that guy's going to be a main event someday. If he isn't, something has gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, that was a very good match for the weekend.
My favorite match actually was Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston. That was actually the one I did not expect that to be. Close second is Gargano and Cole. That was a great match.
The only thing that could have made that one better is if Ciampa ran out and helped Johnny.
True. I did love that he came out. The ending was great. He did the thing, yeah. But that was a fantastic match. Also an underrated match to me. Well, we'll talk about that later, I guess, if we have time. But those two were kind of right there. I didn't expect to love I'm not the biggest Daniel Bryan guy. I didn't expect to love it as much as I did.
This is going to sound dumb, but I have a story behind it.
Okay.
The Zack Ryder, Curt Hawkins match. Here's the thing. I've been listening to their podcast for a while now.
Yeah.
And so, they make a lot of jokes about their careers and stuff that they do and whatnot, but they have become so personable through their podcast that like the whole sequence of events that they sort of had for this week and stuff leading up, you know, up to it, kind of just feels like it felt very good. Like it felt like these guys kind of deserved it. I can see how, if you're just kind of following along on TV and stuff like what the hell, why are these two guys, you know, have the title or whatnot. But like, it feels like a very, you know, it feels like a personal journey, you know, for them. And it feels like that the WWE is re-recognizing the kind of internet pull that Zack Ryder still has. You know, and it happened when he was during his broski era with the Internet Champion and stuff like that. But like, the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast is still like, it's a fairly big deal.
You got me turned on to this.
He's got two, they did two sold out live events. Like it's a fairly big deal. And the both of them are just they seem like genuinely good guys.
Yeah. I was fans of this,
you know.
And on top of that, Ryder got engaged to Chelsea Green.
Right, he got engaged. That was really cool. They did their live show. You know, they won the titles. Their families were, you know, were in attendance. It was in New York. Like, it was just a perfect storm. And I just thought, like, I totally marked out.
I also was happy that he didn't drop the title the next night.
No, and they didn't.
Because he did that at 32, and that
pissed me. And that's what I'm concerned, but also not concerned about the superstar shakeup and where they may go.
Yeah.
Like, if history, you know, with the, as far as those two are concerned, one of them will end up on one show, the other one will end up on another show, and then they'll have to do a tournament for the tag team titles.
They've been pretty good about keeping tag teams together lately, though.
True. But
they need all the ones they can get. So stop
especially on Raw.
Yeah. But then that raises the question about the superstar shakeup.
Yeah.
The only real titles that could theoretically switch shows are the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title. You can't move the Raw Championship. You can't move the World Heavyweight Championship. The Raw and SmackDown both have their own titles.
Here's the thing, though. This is my theory going into the shakeup, is it's not going to be the only one we get this year. We've got the Fox deal with SmackDown starting in October. Mm-hmm. And what you're going to face with that is that for the first time, you're going to have two major broadcasting companies both possessing one of WWE's shows. When it was, they're both on USA, right. It was no problem to have guys jump from one brand to the other. Mm-hmm. But when Fox takes SmackDown and puts it on their network
and said, hey, we spent $6 billion on
this. We gave you all this money. We kind of want Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman to be on our show.
Wow.
And no, we're not. And the other thing is, I don't think they're going to get rid of the brand split, because then they're going to go, and no, we don't want them showing up on Mondays on USA Network. Because that's NBC.
So will this be the dawn of, like, SmackDown actually being treated by WWE like the A show that it has been?
They kind of don't have a choice. Viewership alone is going to justify it.
Because SmackDown, aside from this last week's SmackDown, has been, like, I enjoy that show way more than Raw.
But the thing about it is, what everyone's kind of not sure about is, do you bring all the big stars that need to be on Fox over now? Or do you wait until October and do it again and have some storyline reason why the McMahons are reshuffling both rosters?
Crazy thing is that SmackDown is the one that ended up going to Fox, which to me, like with the whole Fox deal, feels like it should have been Raw. But I get the legacy that Raw has, and they probably have a deal or whatnot. But like,
they're still making good money with Universal having Raw on there.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah. Why disturb? You know, and then also that builds up that other brand. It's had an identity, but it gives it a network identity that they can really push and go forward. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. I like both. I mean, I'm fine with both. I think, honestly, the smart thing then would be to do a second one and wait to move most of your, if you're going to move some of your big guns, wait to make a splash before it premieres.
Right.
But I still want one or two. There's still one or two people that are in that mid-card or upper mid-card tier that could use a jump. It would revitalize them and the show.
See, I kind of feel like they may actually unify the roster at some point and work out a deal where the big stars, the champions or whatnot, show up, you know, on both shows at various points, and it becomes
what happens
is, like, if you know that ahead of time, those shows then become appointment viewing, right? Like, if you want to see the champ on SmackDown, one, they're going to let you know, but two, like, you know, if someone's going to follow those stars. But I think it also raises the stakes of the titles.
But again, I think it's just as likely that Fox goes, yeah, we've got these big stars on our show. We don't want NBC to reap the benefits of that on their show.
That's true.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
They really spent money.
Right.
Yeah, they spent money on it.
All right. Well, let's go with who we think is going to go from one place to the other. We'll start with Matt.
Okay, who do I think or who do I want? Because those are two.
All right, who do you want?
Okay, so I want, and this is hard right now because she actually has both belts, so this would actually be a pretty easy.
She said herself she'll be on both shows.
Yeah,
for a while.
So she'll be, so Lynch. I want her to show up on Raw more. My biggest one is actually Braun to SmackDown. Raw doesn't seem to know what the heck to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
To give SmackDown, because like right now, if you look at most of the heavyweights, right, Drew McIntyre, like the big guys. Oh God, what is his name? The one who just faced Balor. I blanked.
Bobby Lashley.
Thank you, Bobby Lashley. Those guys are all on Raw. So I would love to have, like, be able to build your program around.
Do we know what show Luke Harper's on?
He is technically on Raw, I think, right now.
So, man, he didn't look. He looks so small in the ring comparatively. But I would like them to move him, like build, kind of do what they did with Bliss when she was first drafted to SmackDown, kind of build around, here's our premier guy, and do what Raw cannot seem to do. I don't know if it's airtime or what, but make him a star.
They did for a while, and then they just...
But then they just languishes there, and it's like, you can run with him. So I would like to see that, and then also AJ, I don't even care which brand he ends up on. I feel like he needs to end up on the club, whatever brand the club is on. Mm-hmm. Because they're both languishing right now. And
it's
they
not
going to
matter because Gallows and Anderson are leaving.
Yeah, but we've heard that for a while. Is it actually for real?
It's all signs point to it happening.
Okay. It's not going to be a revival deal where they go, here you go. Here's some belts.
When the revival reportedly asked for their release, they still had till 2020.
Okay.
Like, these guys' contracts actually end this summer.
All right.
And they've kind of been benched pretty much for the majority of this year so far.
Yeah. They've... Yeah,
Connor, what do you want?
My picks, I like the mid-card title switching again, mostly because it gets Finn on SmackDown. Because my philosophy is always, if you're languishing on Raw, get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
Because then that gets you away from Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman and all of Vince's guys that he loves. When you're on SmackDown, you get things like AJ Styles being world champion for a year. That would not have happened if he were on Raw.
No, it
wouldn't have gotten us the new Daniel Bryan. It wouldn't have gotten us Kofi Kingston. So when you have all these fan favorites, you gotta send them to SmackDown.
Agreed.
Plus, Joe fits right in on Raw, have the big personality, and he can lock up with most of those guys. My other pick, Kevin Owens to Raw, just because it seems like Sami Zayn is technically over there, and they need to be together always. That is a rule. You cannot separate them.
Fair enough.
I would like to see the Intercontinental and U.S. titles switch. The Intercontinental title feels like a bigger title that would make SmackDown better. The World Championship is a fine championship for SmackDown, but it's not necessarily a legacy championship, where the Intercontinental title feels like... SmackDown, to me, has always been a show that puts the mid-card and shines a big old spotlight on it. And the mid-card belt, to me, is the Intercontinental title.
That's fair.
And so if you're going to, so I would like to see that. Who they end up, doing with mid-card and whatnot, like, I don't care. But to me, the idea of the Intercontinental title on SmackDown is a better bet. I think Daniel Bryan needs to go back to Raw. Hmm. I think Daniel Bryan has had a ton of great spotlight as the SmackDown champ. I think the new Daniel Bryan is
great. This is his best work.
He's great.
And the new Daniel Bryan is great. To me, there's not enough star power on SmackDown to make it feel like another Daniel Bryan. I don't think there's anyone on SmackDown right now who would make a great rivalry for Daniel Bryan. And I feel like there's more people on Raw who would.
Hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah. So, I'd be down for that, too.
Yeah. All right. I think that's going to about wrap up our... hold on. It'll go into my rants and raves. We're going to do rants and raves. All right. So, rants and raves... Something that we like, something that we don't like. We're going to talk about it for a little bit, and then we will move on. My rant and rave, Raw and SmackDown for post-WrestleMania sucked.
Accurate. They were wheel spinning.
I liked Raw. I didn't like SmackDown.
You don't give a giant match, like a winner-take-all world championship match, wait 3 hours, and then go, oops, absolutely it's a house. Agree. We're suddenly on a house show where nothing matters.
That was terrible. I absolutely agree. But I was riveted through most of it, just like seeing who was going to pop up, and overall, the Undertaker thing was like, okay,
that's fun. Undertaker showing up, okay, that's fun. But like, other than that, no, and I get it, right? Because the Superstar Shakeup is happening a week later, and what do you really do? You can't really set anything up. But that's the weird thing about Mania. There was really nothing to blow off, right? Like outside of the final, the main event, which is still like what really happened there.
Yeah.
There was nothing really. There was no finish that felt like it was a very clean show. Like the finishes were, definite, and that was it. So there was nothing to address.
Yeah.
I think an appearance by DX you know, would have been, you know, better. They were all there. You might as well had him show up or do something. You know, you could have done something maybe a little bit more to follow up the SNL thing, you know, that with the bit with, well, no, but in the sense that, like, use Hall and Nash to follow, like, just to sort of follow up that bit. Like, there could have been little things here or there, I think, that would have made Raw a little bit better, given the star power they had in the vicinity of the, yeah, you know, of the city. SmackDown was just even worse.
Well, SmackDown was
all, it was all tag matches.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just labbed everybody together. Here you go.
And, like, and those are supposed to be the best of those shows of the year. And they were just,
yeah.
Not to mention that's you had guys like Roman, Roman Reigns didn't show up on either show.
Right.
And I just remember looking around going, hey, wait a minute. Where is he?
Right. And, like, you had this weird Daniel Bryan, not Daniel Bryan, you had this weird Dean Ambrose thing.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that was
after
weird.
The
like,
show.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That was weird.
But even, like, the match that he had, like, what's the point of that? Just let him ride off into the sunset.
But no, they got to beat the snot out of him and let him just sit there. And, like, I did not understand. Now, to be fair, I didn't understand that for Kurt Angle either.
Yeah.
I was like, why on earth would you let Baron Corbin beat him?
That's old school mentality, though. But you go out on
terrible.
Your back, right? I try to build somebody else up.
I get that, but does anyone see the future? Like, why? Kurt Angle's going to give a run to somebody. You're going to waste it on Baron Corbin? This
guy. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, Matt, what you got?
So mine is actually, I'm rooting. I find myself, I've been a little negative this episode. I don't like that.
It's all right.
I'm going to try and be positive. Anthem is a game from BioWare. It's kind of a multiplayer. It's been compared to Destiny and some other kind of those living multiplayer games.
I've heard terrible things.
It had a rough launch.
You've been playing a lot of this.
I've been playing a lot of it. I am one of those who I see a lot of potential in this. The core gameplay is a blast, but it's got a lot of problems. I'm going to pull a Kofi. I'm actually writing up an article.
Right. Here we go.
Where
cheap plug.
Where it's actually going to talk about, like, the one thing they can do that can turn things around. There's new content coming, but I think in this world of Destiny was treated as a garbage fire when it came out, and then they turned it around with an expansion. Crazily enough, Destiny 2 was also a garbage fire when it came out, and they resuscitated that. Rainbow Six, For Honor, Elder Scrolls Online, like, the list goes on and on of games that have come out completely just, everyone hates them, and then in, like, 6 months, you turn around and they're making money. They're fine. Warframe just went from the little baby that could, right? And it's just, so I think there is hope for this. And there was, like, a recent expose into, like, BioWare and how this game was, like, developed over 7 years, but really only came together in the last 12 months. So this game that we have is really only, like, a year that took it to make. It's crazy. But I'm rooting for it. I think it has a future, and I'm not abandoning the ship.
All right. Connor, what you got?
So I've seen a few memes pop up on social media regarding Avengers Endgame. Mm-hmm. It is about...
A few?
this particular one. It's this. It's a person writing out conduct for when you're inside the theater.
All right.
No asking questions. Make sure you've watched all of the plot recaps or have seen all the movies. Don't go to the bathroom. Stay until the very end of the credits. You know, no conversations. It's like, guys... Don't be dicks about this. If new people want to
gatekeeping,
new people want to go see this movie, let them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If this is the first time they've seen an MCU movie, but they've seen all of this hype around it and they want to get involved, let them. It's okay. It's this gatekeeping stuff is just toxic.
You're the problem,
and you are kind of the problem with this community if you're trying to push that idea. Now I get. Now it was so like. Thorough that it was like, this is clearly a joke.
Yeah.
But it felt like there was some truth behind this.
There are some people who are going to really treat that like the freaking Bible.
And there are a lot of people who comment on those, yep, this is me to a T. And I'm like, you're the problem.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean, too. And I've always said this about comics, and it's very true for the MCU. Every one of these Marvel movies is bound to be someone's first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if this is the time that they decide to jump in, great.
Yeah.
And if it energizes them to want to go back and watch the rest of them, that's even better, because then that person is going to go and maybe they'll get it, you know, they'll go watch the TV shows. Maybe they'll go pick up some comics. And so a lot of people like to say, like, you know, the movie audience is different from the comic book audience and it's different from the TV audience. Why can't they just all be the same? Like, whoever's point of entry to this world that we love should be celebrated.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, nice point.
Thank you. That was a good one to end on. All right. Now, if you are a fan of this show, Oh, you should leave a review on iTunes. We have done a few of these. T-shirts have arrived.
Booyah.
People are happy. And I want to read some more.
Boom. Yay.
I'm hosting, so I get to drive the wheel here. And so I'm going to pick two. There's a bunch, so we'll go through more with different episodes. But this one is from Fardo18.
Great name.
Headline, my favorite entertainment podcast. I see new movies on Thursday night just so I can listen to these guys first thing the next morning. I feel like I'm sitting in on a conversation that I would have with my friends if I had friends who were into this stuff. Keep it up, please. Oh, and more Jim Viscardi, please.
Oh, wow. No, now we know why he picked it.
All right. The next one is the most recent one. This is from Me, and I. This is my one-stop podcast for all info geek related. It has helped expand my knowledge base beyond the MCU and Star Wars franchises. It has even convinced me to go buy a comic book for the first time in years. I enjoy the chemistry between all the hosts. It does make it sound like comicbook.com is an interesting and fun place to work.
You have no idea.
It's also great that they bring in people to talk about anime and WWE, but they also get their opinions about other topics on the show, not just their specialty. Keep up the great work.
Wow, look at that.
Look at that. I may cry over that one.
You get two t-shirts.
So me, and I, and Fardo18, just either hit us up on, any one of us up on Twitter, or drop us an email to editor@comicbook.com, and we will make sure that we get those shirts out for you. These could be you. All you have to do is just go to iTunes and leave a five-star review, give us a good review, and we will read it on the air. Let's wrap this up. You ready to wrap it up?
Yeah, I'm ready to wrap it up.
Comic Book Nation can be found every Wednesday and Friday on comicbook.com or iTunes, Spotify, Pocket Casts, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. Comic Book Nation is there, so make sure you do it. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Jim Viscardi.
I am at Matt Mueller CB.
At Connor Casey _CB.
We've got a big weekend this week with Star Wars Celebration happening.
Yeah,
Disney Plus announcement is happening later today.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones on Sunday. You are not going to want to miss the next episode on Wednesday at 4, sure. So with that, we will see you next time.
Deuces.
Later.